The Last Word on Business.
With Forvis Mazars, your professional services partner. Visit forvismazars.com/IE to find out more.
And so let's turn to business. Ian Guider from the Business Post is with us. And Ian, start with this. We're hearing an awful lot about cost of living measures to be announced in the budget today. Is that because inflation remains stubbornly high?
No, Matt. In fact, inflation has almost disappeared. We had some figures from the Central Statistics Office today showing that prices in September were up just 0.2% from September a year ago. That is the lowest level of inflation in over 3 years, since March 2021. In August, inflation was 1.1%, so it has come down here in Ireland much, much quicker than other parts of the Eurozone. So if the government are introducing a cost of living package tomorrow, you'd have to wonder what cost of living crisis is there. Because even, and I've mentioned this to you for the last number of months, even food prices are now not growing. They were officially flat in September. Energy prices are coming down once again. They were down 14% year over year. And pretty much the energy spike that happened after 2022 has all but dissipated. Now, I know a lot of the people will say, well, we haven't seen it in our bill showing up just yet. And I think both the energy industry and the supermarkets will come under pressure to reduce prices. But if you're looking at it at a headline level, inflation has pretty much disappeared. Again, when will we see more price cuts coming into our bills? That's up for debate. But at an official economic level, we have done away with inflation.
But yet, I suspect for many people, some people have had to dip into savings, others have had to borrow to pay the bills in the last couple of years. And even if inflation itself has disappeared, the prices are still at a higher rate than they were previously, which can be difficult for some people to fund. And might that explain why it is that retail sales are continuing to drop?
Yeah, we've seen a drop in retail sales both in the month of August compared with July, but the big drop was year on year. So that's separate data from the CSO showing retail sales, and pretty much across the board, they fell down in volume terms by 2.5% in August. And if you look through where they're falling, motor sales are down. Well, we know electric vehicle sales are down, but bar sales are down. Something I've been banging on about to you about the pressures facing bars and restaurants, down 5.6% in August, the peak of the summer tourism season, and when you've got a lot of domestic tourism. Food sales down by more than 3.5%, and electrical goods sales, so nobody upgrading their phones or TVs or their laptops or iPads, down by around 8%. Now, you mentioned that there are a lot of people who are dipping into savings and maybe having to borrow money, but we also had figures today from the central bank showing a big increase in savings during August once again, almost 157 billion on the deposit with Irish banks. So there are a lot of people out there who have built up money. Perhaps they're fearful, Matt, of the economy. Perhaps they're worried that they're not getting any bargains and they don't want to be spending money in the shops here. Or perhaps there's a lot of people out there who aren't able to save, and there are some people in the economy doing well and not as and some others not doing as well. So there's lots of things going on in the economy. But I think from a headline point of view, when it comes to the budget tomorrow, I'd be concerned that there are some people out there who are going to get one-off payments that they don't need for energy credits, or perhaps one-off social welfare increases for people who are at work and there's two people at work and they've received big pay rises. And there are other people, Matt, who really are struggling with high bills out there, not just food, not just energy, but also the things like rent as well. And they're the people who perhaps need more targeting than there are others.
Well, that's something we'll discuss in detail during our budget coverage tomorrow. Let's get away from those things, though. A couple of other stories I want to ask you about. More about the Dublin Airport passenger cap. This one just will not go away. And Ryanair cutting 14 winter routes. Would they have done this anyway, or are they just using this as another stick with which to beat the government with in relation to Dublin Airport?
Well, it depends. And they're not just cutting winter routes here in Ireland. There have been some changes internationally across their schedule for winter as well, because, of course, some destinations between October and next March see a drop in passenger numbers. But today, clearly, it is being linked. That reports today 14 routes over winter are being cut between now and the end of next March. Now, they're not going to be, it's not a huge amount of the overall destination served by Ryanair, but it's a clear indication that to comply with the passenger cap at Dublin Airport, particularly particularly for the winter months, which kicks in from tomorrow, according to the Irish Aviation Authority. That's when winter starts. Ryanair cutting these routes. There are other airlines. Aer Lingus are looking at their schedule. We had the head of Emerald Airlines last week, Conor McCarthy, saying the impact would have an impact on his airline because, of course, they serve a lot of regional destinations to the UK. And you also had an intervention in the Irish Times today from Basil Gagan, who is the head of the DAA, which runs Dublin Airport. And he says he thinks the government could align better its resources to get a solution quicker than we are facing right now. What does that mean? Well, the government have repeatedly said it can't get involved in the planning application from the DAA, the Fingal County Council, to lift that planning cap. But there is a lot of pressure coming on the government. I've been told by my sources separately, Matt, that they do believe over the next couple of weeks the government may have to intervene or may look at ways to intervene because this is generating headlines internationally around the phrases such as Ireland is closed to travellers, particularly around business people coming into Ireland. That's not a message they'll want to have going out there. So I do think that while Basil Gagan, of course, is the chair of the DAA, I do think he may be onto something here, that the government, despite repeated calls by Ryanair's chief executive Michael O'Leary for the government to get involved, that they can't, from some ministers like Eamon Ryan saying we can't be seen to intervene, I think the pressure is growing, and that's certainly what my sources over the past few days have been telling me.
Finally, how well known is the new chairman of Bank of Ireland?
Well, I've never heard of him until the press release came this afternoon, but we do have a new, they're officially called the Governor of Bank of Ireland, Matt, not just the chairman, that's what we call them colloquially, but they are officially the Governor of Bank of Ireland. It is Akshaya Bhargava, who is a person who's been involved in financial services for many decades. He'll take over at the start of January from Patrick Kennedy, who's stepping down after many years as chairman. Mr. Bhargava, who's an Indian citizen, has worked in Britain for many years. He's been involved in Citigroup, the big global financial services company. He ran a very important part of Barclays Bank. He was the chief executive of a company called Infosys and has worked around fintechs and digital challenger banks for the last number of years. So he is a global heavy hitter who will take on the role as chairman of Bank of Ireland. Interesting, Matt. I think this is the first time that they've gone to somebody who hasn't been run a business in Ireland to take control of the bank, and possibly because about 40% of Bank of Ireland's assets are located outside of Ireland, mostly in the UK. They'd have a big shareholder base internationally as well. So perhaps you're looking for somebody who has a bit of global financial services experience.
Interesting decision. Interesting that Bank of Ireland has not, as you might have expected, gone for an Irish person as the new chairman. And I suppose if it wasn't going to be an Irish person, Ian, it might have been somebody from overseas living in Ireland. The fact that he doesn't live in Ireland as well is an interesting one, although presumably he'll be spending plenty of time here as part of his new role. Thank you very much, Ian Guider.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.